Well, today is our last week in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality and going through the chapters of the book. And on Tuesday night, we finished the course, and it was a lovely little way to finish off. And this is sort of the most practical aspect of the book, this last chapter, and it's called A Rule of Life. And so we're going to think briefly of developing a rule of life. And now that, when I first read it, before I'd read this book, I'd never heard of a rule of life. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that meant. I knew about the golden rule, but I didn't know what the rule of life was. And it sounded a little bit something that I don't like rules in some ways. And so it wasn't necessarily something that I was very interested or engaged in. But it's a very practical part of the course and of the book. As we think about that, I wanted to just tell you about a time in my life when I was in year 11. I was finishing year 11. That was back in 1987. And as I was finishing year 11, I was enjoying playing rugby. And the following year, the coach for second grade had tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Oh, I want you in my team for second grade next year." And so as we finished up the year, the captain of rugby asked if there was anybody who wanted a training schedule. And I thought, well, I'm going to be in the seconds next year. Maybe I should do the training schedule. I'd like to do that. I'd like to play rugby better than I do. And so I said, I'll take a training schedule. And so I took it home, and it told me what to do each day. It said this day, this time. So I think it ran from memory on a fortnightly cycle. But it said, you need to run 5 kilometres. And because you're a second rower, you need to do it in 20-something minutes. And I thought, oh dear. So I would do it. I would try and get in under the time. Then it would say, you have to do 8 100-meter sprints with a 10-second rest in between each one. Oh, okay, so I would do that. I would do these things so that I could improve and I could actually enjoy rugby more. One of the things I found the least enjoyable about rugby is when I'm not fit. I also used to play for Gallagher Rugby Club, and I used to play with guys who at half time we would have an orange and they would have a cigarette. And so listening to them through the game was interesting. You thought they were going to die several times. The fitter you are, the more fun it is, because you're not concerned about your fitness. You're not coming to the breakdown feeling exhausted or breathless or tired and unable to help or do anything. You actually got something to give. And so I trained. I trained all summer. I wanted to. Nobody told me I had to. I chose to. And so I was in the second 15 for a few weeks, just as this gentleman coach who had tapped me on the shoulder and said he'd like me to be on his team, I was. And then after a few weeks, they discovered that Dave Woolcott was fitter than he'd ever been in his life. And before I knew it, I was in first grade. That's exciting. So I'm in that picture. I'm the guy who's the second from the left with his mouth open, catching flies. Focusing on the ball. That's me. We often have an adverse reaction, don't we, to things such as discipline or practice or rules, because often we see them as restrictive. One of the things for me this morning, as I'm listening to the organ, I'm listening to the choir, I'm recognizing that these things, as we listen to people who are disciplined and practice and follow certain musical rules, that it makes something more beautiful to listen to, doesn't it? These things don't just happen. If you want an example of that, listen to some modern music, some rock bands, and you'll know that maybe there's a little bit less discipline and practice, and maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know, but we can choose to do these things. We can choose to, because they'll actually make it more pleasant and enjoyable. And this is the idea of a rule of life. And so I've got 3 points, and the first point, very simply, is what is a rule of life? Now, we've had read for us this morning by Margaret, Psalm 63, just the first 5 verses. And verse 2 and verse 5 say something interesting. Verse 2 says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. The psalmist And as Margaret read for us this morning, or noted at the beginning, this was a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. He's in a dry place. But he notes that because he's been disciplined at another time in his life before he ended up in the desert, he's been to God's sanctuary. That means he's been to the temple. He's been into God's presence. That was something he practiced. It was a part of his rule for life that he would come into God's presence. He says, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. He had a discipline that now he's in the desert makes it a little bit easier for him in the desert. But then he says in verse 5 as well, I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. The rule of life is all about coming into God's presence to be fed, so that even when we're in dry places, we will still be fed. We will still have something. Skizzero describes the rule of life in these ways. He says it's an intentional, conscious plan for keeping God at the center of everything we do. So there's an intentionality about it. When I was doing those exercises in the off-season, getting ready for the rugby season, it was intentional, it was conscious, it was a plan so that I would be able to perform. With this, it's not about performance so much, but performance is actually a benefit of it. It's an intentional, conscious plan for keeping God at the center of everything we do. Another thing he says is it's an exterior framework for an interior journey. I quite like that. It's a framework that we bring on the outside so that on the inside there's a difference. And Skizzero also goes on to explain the meaning of the word rule. Once again, as I suggested, it has often a negative connotation. But in the original language that it was used in, it means a trellis, which is, I think for a moment, you might be able to see the link with rules and a trellis, but it might also help us understand it in a different way as well. A trellis is a structure that is used to help a vine grow up and to flourish and be fruitful. So if you have a grapevine and you don't have any support for it, it can't grow up. In fact, it's just going to grow along the ground, and any fruit that does form is going to be on the ground, is probably going to rot, and so it's not going to be as fruitful. So the trellis is there to help the vine grow up and to flourish and to be more fruitful. It is simply a structure to help that. Notice that the trellis is external to the vine. It's an external structure designed to help with the inward journey and therefore a benefit being fruitfulness. Just so that you know, this is something, a rule of life is something that you can do privately, intentionally for yourself, but it's also something that as a church, we have a generally accepted or understood rule of life. Church communities down through the history of the church often have. And so one passage that we've already looked at, is Acts 2, 42 to 47. Sure you remember that passage. It describes what the early church did together. That was their rule of life. They devoted themselves, we're told, to teaching and study. That was part of their external structure, that they were going to devote themselves to teaching and study. They were going to devote themselves to fellowship, and they were going to devote themselves to the breaking of bread, be that meaning communion or fellowship. I choose to believe that it probably means both, that when they met for communion, they were having fellowship, they were having a meal together. We tend to divide it now and bring it into a church service as a separate thing. They were devoted to prayer. These are the things they were devoted to. They chose as a community to devote themselves to these things. Some of the other things that are mentioned in Acts 2, 42 to 47 was their generosity, their hospitality, and their unity. All things that they chose to do as a community. If you want to be a part of this community, then these are the things that you did. They practiced mercy. They met together. They even praised God. Praising God can be a part of our rule of life as a church. Also as individuals. Now, I just want to note that this is very different to what many churches, thinking evangelical churches in the Sydney area, have as their rule of life. Most of them have a twofold rule of life, read the Bible and pray. And yet that is a certain dryness to it when we consider those things are important and they're great to have as a part of rule of life, but can you notice that for Acts, the early church had so much more? And a part of it is what they did as a community. They saw that as important to who they were and what they did. To give you an idea of how Scazzero structures a rule of life is what's in the center, and it's got four different aspects to it. It's got prayer, relationships, rest, and work/activity. He puts some things under some of those things. Under prayer, he gives some examples. He says in prayer you might pray through scripture. For example, Psalm 63, not just verses 1 to 5, but all of Psalm 63 would make a lovely prayer if you wanted to sit and to use scripture as a part of your intentional rule of life, prayer life. There's prayer, there's silence and solitude. There's the daily office that we talked about a week or two ago. There is study as well, sitting down and thinking things through in prayer. The relationship side of things, there's emotional health, there's a family, there's community, like I was talking about in Acts. There's companions for the journey. Those things, once again, in a rule of life, are intentional. So one of the things that we have here at Macquarie Chapel Presbyterian Church is small groups. We also have what's called DNA groups for men, though women are certainly allowed to start their own DNA group if they would like to. But that idea of being intentional about having companions for our spiritual journey, that could be a part of your rule for life. So there's prayer, there's relationships, there's rest. So he talks about Sabbath and simplicity and also play and recreation, having an intentional framework of those things. And finally, work/activity. He puts under these things like service and mission, even care for our physical body. They're things that we might put under work and activity. So I hope that you can see that what he's trying to do is help us to have a balanced life. The rule of life is about a balanced life. It's not about an unbalanced life. Now, there are some people down through church history who had a bit of trouble with the balance side to things. Some of the monastic movement came out of this. There was a reason why they wanted to withdraw from life and society. And yet life and society should be a part of our rule of life and a balanced life as well. And so relationships is one of the ways that comes about, work and activity. Not all of us work in a church. Many of us work in secular places. So that's a bit of, I think, a framework, I hope, for you. It gives you a bit of an understanding of what a rule of life is. The second point is, why do we need it? And I hope that through the course you've seen why we need it. But if we look at Psalm 63 for a second, second half of verse 1 says, "I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." That's one of the reasons why we need this. And have an intentionality about ourselves and how we structure our lives, so that we recognize that it's God that we thirst for and we need to have some sort of connection with him. Also in verse 3, it says, "Because your love is better than life." This is a framework, it's a structure to help us be able to come into God's presence more and more, because his love is actually better than life. Last couple of weeks, I've talked about living water and becoming a wellspring of life and how we cannot pump our own water. This psalm is a psalm of David, where David is in a place where if he was not connected to God, he would have to pump his own water. He's in a dry place. I know I'm using it metaphorically, but he's actually in a desert at this point. And yet his connection with God is still one where he has a wellspring of life coming out of him. He recognizes his need. Dallas Willard, and I've used this quote a little bit before, says this: "My central claim is that we can become like Christ by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. We can, through faith and grace, become like Christ by practicing the type of activities he engaged in, to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father." Now, Dallas Willard is not saying we'll become like Christ as in perfect like Christ, but rather the relationship and connection he has with the Father and the way that that brings a fruit out of his life. Dallas Willard is saying that I too, can have that as well if indeed we have a rule of life like Jesus had. It's always important to remember that activities are not the end. That is not why we have a rule of life, so that we have activities, but rather fellowship with the Father is. And so Dallas Willard reminds us of the whole purpose at the end. He says to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father. That is why we structure things around prayer and rest and work and activity and relationships, that we might remain constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father. And I have mentioned the last few weeks about our mission statement, loving God and loving others. And we really need, as a community, as individuals, to build on the foundation of what God has done. I'd like to encourage us to be a community that has a rule of life for us as a community. That we see things like joining together on a Sunday as important, but also things like small groups, Bible studies, things like fellowship lunches, things like time we spend together, things like the Wednesday evening prayer group that prays for our church as a group. There's so many ways that we could develop a rule of life for us as a church community, not for the purpose of doing things alone, but for the purpose of, as a community, remaining constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father. Well, we're going to do that a bit as a church. I hope that's part of the journey that we go on. But a rule of life is also something that you and I as individuals benefit from if we develop. And so I want to give you some practical ideas as we finish off with the third point. How do we actually do this? This might be a slide that we'll stick on the Facebook page. And if you want to take a photo of it, if you want to be able to record that. But first of all, start with one or two practices. The worst thing that we could do with a rule of life if we haven't been doing anything in particular or have only been doing one or two things is to have a list of 15 things that we've decided over the next week we're going to introduce into our lives. That's probably going to make it feel like a rule in a bad sense rather than a good sense. But one or two practices is where you start, and then you just build on those. You also assess it regularly. This is because this is your rule of life, it's not mine. You're not being dictated how to do it in a book, because from a book, you're actually being given a whole lot of scope as to what it is that you actually bring into your rule of life, because it needs to suit you. In any given season of life, your rule of life might look differently. Sometimes you might need silence and solitude more than other times. Sometimes you might need community and relationships more than other times. And so you build in what you need, which is why you assess it yearly. Build what works. Stop what doesn't. Do not be legalistic. Those two things are very linked. If you feel that you are forcing yourself to do it, then reassess. Why is it that you need to force yourself? There were days when I was training, in my pre-season rugby training, there were days where I didn't want to do it. And I would sometimes simply have to remind myself of what the goal was. The goal was to play rugby and to enjoy it. Not to be held back by poor physical condition, but rather be able to enjoy it and to be able to play well. So don't be legalistic. Reassess why you do it. Remind yourself of the purpose. Connection to God is key. And if ultimately your rule of life that you develop is not connecting you to the Father, then it's time to ask questions and reassess. Keep it fresh. Try new things. If there's a spiritual practice that you've heard about that you've never tried, then try it. See what it's like and see whether it helps you grow closer to God. I don't know how many of you have tried fasting. It's not something that I have generally chosen to try and do myself. But when I have done it, and I do wonder if the case is I'm not somebody who's drawn to not eating. And so sometimes for me who's drawn to eating rather than not eating, for me to purposely go without food for a time so as to be closer to God, it actually has a profound impact and effect. And so try new things. Try things that you may not actually be drawn to initially, but see how it goes. I've said play the long game. In other words, give that time to see how it goes. This is a journey through life. And so we don't always see the results quickly. For me, I started doing the training for the rugby season, which wasn't going to start till I think around about May. I started the training in like October, November, the year before, because I was playing a long game. and I knew that I wasn't going to see the effects. I couldn't just go for one 5 kilometre run and then rock up to the selection process for rugby. There was two reasons. One, the 5 kilometre run would have killed me. I had to build up to it. But two, I needed to do more than that over time. And finally, and this is really important, be in community. Community should be a part of our rule of life. It should be one of the things that's really important in that. And so although we'll all have our individual rhythms and rule of life, wherever possible, do it with others. Encourage them, be encouraged by them. Life's journey is so much easier when we walk with others. One of the things that I look back on is I was amazed that I did that training schedule by myself. And I think how much more enjoyable would it have been if there was another 2 or 3 people who were doing it with me. It would have been much more fun, much less lonely, and I may have even benefited more from that. So there's a bit of an outline, I guess, as to how it is that you might go about a rule of life. I hope you understand that a rule of life is simply a structure to help you to get the most out of life by linking into the greatest source of life that there is. This is a really good thing to do. Start small, go gentle with yourself, and enjoy the process and the journey. Cardinal Basil Hume. Wrote this. He said, each of us needs an opportunity to be alone and silent, to find space in the day or the week just to reflect and listen to the voice of God that speaks deep with us. He knocks at our door, but for many people, their lives are too preoccupied for them to be able to hear. Cardinal Hume is encouraging us to make sure in our lives that we are able to connect with God. If we're not intentional about that, then life just fills the gaps. It fills the spaces. This is about being intentional so that God fills the spaces. It's about making the gaps for God to appear. He can always choose to appear in other ways. He can always choose to make gaps himself. But it seems like he chooses usually to wait for you to make space. And so I'd encourage you to do that. A rule of life is intentionally building our lives around God and deep union with him. And so, to finish with a couple of questions, what is your plan during your busy day for not leaving the nurture of your interior life with God to chance? We've talked through this course about a lot of aspects of the Christian walk. I guess this last talk is really, you know, where the rubber hits the road. What are we going to do? I want to challenge and encourage each one of you to think about that for yourselves. And I appreciate the fact that many of you probably already have and are already walking in a place and in a space where you're doing that. The other question is, well, where can you find the time in your week to gaze on the infinite beauty of God? One of the things about me and my rugby training is I love rugby. That's why I did it. That's why I did all that training, is because I love rugby. I actually hate physical exercise, but I love rugby. Ultimately, why is it that you would do this? Well, David actually gives us a reason in this verse in Psalm 63. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you." David's intentional about it because he knows that this is his God. The one who, when he's in a dry place, is able to give him living water and from whom he's able to produce in him a wellspring of life flowing out of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your desire to connect with us. Indeed, that's why you've created us. That's why you've placed us here, because of the fellowship that you desired to have with us. Lord, help us to make the most of the journey in this life now to connect deeply with you. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. We've moved quickly through this talk this morning, but I do pray, Lord, that you would, for each and every one of us, help us to structure things intentionally in our lives, that we might grow in our connection with you and our love for you. Lord, help us to do it for the right reasons. Help us to do it because we simply love you. And Lord, even if that's not why we start, as we progress, I pray, Lord, that that would become the reason for each and every one of us as to why it is that we intentionally build our lives around you and not around ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.